Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. And what follows in 226 stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
the portion from God's Word that we wish to read together, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms, and thereof Psalm 51. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him, after he had gone in to Bathsheba, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me truly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing out loud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Jonas Ben Hagenbos, who has come home from the hospital in this past week. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are privileged in this morning to gather together around thy word and everlasting testimony once again, and that thou sparest the life of each and every one of us, that we may have yet a little time here below. We know not what a day may bring forth, but to this moment thou hast given each and every one of us still our life. And thou hast spared young and old together also, that a child who may be brought home from the hospital once again to be with his parents and his brothers and sisters. Lord, thou hast made all things well when there were so many fears. Oh, that thou may continue to bless the means for the recovery of his body. And wilt thou grant unto him in his young life a heart that may mourn for sin. Oh, then he is young, but he is not too young for thee. Then we can read of thy servant that he did leap in his mother's womb. Oh, that thou may give that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou wouldst ordain praise, and that also in the midst of our children and the little ones may be given to sing out of a heart that thou hast given to sing. Oh, that thou may grant that love of thee to be planted in the days of our youth, our children, our young people. Oh, that they may be given to remember their Creator in those days, and that they may give their young bones unto thee in all thy service in all this world, and that they may be given eyes to see the vanity of all that is here below, and that they may be given that grace that cleaves to thee, and that may run after thee. For wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, even by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, that they may be given to find thee. Lord, remember us also that are become older. We become older, and the heart that becomes colder, unless and that thou begins, that thou wouldst grant a breaking of the hard hearts. Oh, that thou may grant tears to weep over our sin and our iniquity, and that we may receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and understanding hearts. Oh, thou a great shepherd of Israel, who leadest Joseph like a flock, wilt thou who dwells between the cherubim shine forth, and that thou may show thyself in the midst of the years and remember mercy. And that we, as we are traveling through this world, and with a heart that is so attached unto the world, and that we may be given that new life that also loves Thee, and that cannot be satisfied with the world. Oh, that Thou wouldst work mightily then amongst young and old. Remember those that have become old. Wilt Thou grant unto them a supply from above in those days wherein the weakness of the body increases, where there are so many sorrows, when dear ones are taken away, more and more that they are feeling their loneliness here below. But Thy servant did say that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And wilt Thou give us all together to know that friend, and that we may be given to know how close that Thou wilt be even to a wretched and a poor sinner. And wilt Thou look upon us young and old in this day. Oh, that Thou may give that those that are in need may receive from Thee and what is necessary for mind and body alike. And in all the needs and cares of this life wherein we experience the consequences of our own sin against Thee, oh, that we may be given to experience also that Thou still hast a favor toward a people in this world, and that our hearts may be given to long, to hunger, and to thirst for Thee, and that we may receive from Thee what we cannot receive from this world, and that Thou may look upon Thy children. Lord, Thou knowest also where they are and what lives within their hearts. And then they often have to say with Thy servant, wherefore hidest Thou Thyself from our prayer? For Thou feedest us with the bread of tears, and Thou givest us tears to drink in great measure. And then it is because of our own sin and backsliding, and because we need to receive instruction from Thee. But could it please Thee to shine forth from Thy sanctuary, and that Thou may bless Thy people, increase their number. May it be among us also, that we as a congregation may not have only that which is outward, the blessings which will testify against us, but all that we may receive, and that we may have a longing and a hunger for that blessing that we cannot miss. Oh, that we may learn to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And wilt Thou look upon all Thy servants, help them in the bringing of Thy word, and all where there is reading also help those that do lead in the services, and that Thou may grant Thy blessing over the length and breadth of this whole world upon Thy holy word. Look on us also in this morning. Wilt thou strengthen us in our body, that we may be enabled to bring Thy word in this hour. That Thou may give us also what is necessary in our own heart. Lord, that we need to receive from Thee if we will give it unto others. Even as Thou didst multiply the few loaves, and that Thy disciples could but hand them out. And then there were those that were hungry, and they could eat and drink, and they could be filled. Oh, that there may also be such in our midst in this day, Lord. And those that have received a little hunger and a little thirst, and if not, oh, that they may receive it even in this very hour. And wilt Thou take reasons out of Thyself to visit us and to look upon us in Thy mercy? And wilt Thou supply for us in all our needs for Jesus' sake? Amen. while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face, and within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. We make the following announcements. There will be, the Lord willing, reading services next week, as I hope to preach in Calgary next week instead of today. The seniors' morning hopes to meet this week, Tuesday. The last collection today is for the Blue Books. Psalter 163, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John once more, in the 4th chapter, and thereof the 26th verse. John 4, verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So far the words of our text. Christ reveals himself to the Samaritan woman first upon a new longing. Second, upon a further discovery. And third, upon a wrought need. Christ reveals himself to the Samaritan woman first upon a new longing, second upon a further discovery, and third upon a wrought need. I that speak unto thee am he. What is a congregation? It is a revelation. We have explained that to you many times, boys and girls, a revelation. And that is an uncovering. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he tells, he reveals, he opens who that he is. Is that necessary? Is it not necessary? How can this woman know who that is, unless the Lord Jesus will open himself, will reveal himself to her? You say he has manifested already who he is, because he has opened unto her those things which were living in her heart. He has exposed all her life. He has shown himself as the omniscient one. That is true. And yet she does not see. Yet she does not know who that he is. So we can read that also with the brothers of Joseph. So many dealings. And there were so many things by which and they may have known, and yet their eyes, they are closed. The Emmaus travelers, they are traveling with him. Step by step, their hearts, they are burning within them when they are receiving from him that instruction. And yet their eyes, they are holding, that they should not know him. Oh, how often does Christ not keep himself hidden from his children, that he is not revealing himself. So we can read, Solomon says, he standeth behind our wall, showing himself through the lattice. That is only a little bit. And why? Well, because he will show himself in a way that he will be glorified. And then he will make himself suitable. He will make himself precious. He will make room for himself. Why? Because that full soul loatheth in honeycomb. But to that hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I that speak unto thee am he. To whom does he say this? He says this to a woman. He says this to the Samaritan woman. He says this to a wicked woman. He says this to a woman who has had five husbands, and he whom that she now has is not her husband. Is that not a wonder that he says these words unto such a woman? Where do you read it in the Bible that he has revealed himself so clearly as he has revealed himself to this wicked woman? Did he reveal himself so to the Pharisees? Did he reveal himself in such a way unto the scribes? We don't read that. Do you think it is impossible that the Lord would reveal himself to you? Do you say that will not happen to me because of my sin? Because of my past sin? Because of my present sin? Because of my outward wickedness? Because of that wickedness that is living in my heart from day unto day? But what does the Apostle Paul write? He says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Is that not a wonder? Was that ever a wonder unto you? Maybe you say, young people, that is good, because then I want to be converted. But I do not want to be converted just yet. Then I can go on still today in my sin, and I can still live out the way I want to live in this world, because the Lord, He speaks, He reveals Himself unto wicked people. Oh, do not think so. It does not go just like that. No, see, to whom that He is revealing, to whom that He is showing, opening Himself. Because what do we read about this woman? And we can read, we see that here in our first thought, that is that in her there is a new longing. Our Father, she says, worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. What is she speaking about? She is speaking about worshiping. Do you ever think about what that means? Who is this woman? This woman that is speaking about worshiping. We have heard it. That is a woman that has been uncovered. That is a woman who has had her sin shown unto her. Her bosom sin. Her whole life exposed and made bare. That is a guilty woman. Oh, have you ever become a guilty woman? Have you ever become a guilty man? A guilty boy? A guilty girl? And now hear what she begins to do. She begins to speak about worshiping. Do you ever think about worshiping? And what that means to worship? Because that is one of the marks of that new life. And this woman, she has been wrought upon by the Lord. And in her are coming out by beginnings those marks. They are beginning to show themselves in the life of this woman, so that she begins to speak here about worshiping. To worship. That is what we were created for, children. Do you ever think about that? And if the Lord will give to you that new heart that you ask from the Lord, what do you think you are going to feel? What do you think you are going to experience in your life? I will tell you what you will experience. You are going to experience what this woman experiences. And then when there is a new life, and then the thoughts, they are going back. They are going back to our beginnings. They are going back to our creation. They are going back to that God who has made us, who has given us our life, our breath, and all things. Or in that new life, then there begins to come a missing of that God. And a desire that I may again do that thing for which He has made me, that I may begin to live again to His honor, that I may begin to live again to His glory. Oh, do you ever desire in your heart that you also may be given to worship? You say we do worship. Congregation, do we worship? Do you know what this woman asks? She begins to ask after the true worship. She begins to ask, what is now false worship? And what is now true worship? She begins to ask after the distinguishing marks that she may know, that she may receive that desire that is born in her heart, and that she may worship the Lord. That woman has received instruction. She has received the beginnings of instruction. The instruction concerning herself, her own life. The Lord has opened it for her. The Lord, He has laid that all bare. And that woman, she is desiring that she may receive more instruction, especially that instruction concerning God Himself. Or are not these now those marks that are marking that new life that is coming from that Spirit of the Lord? Oh, that woman, she sees an opportunity. She sees that this is a prophet. And she believes that this is a prophet of the Lord. And then she has an opportunity. And she will make use of this opportunity, that she may ask Him this question that is now living in her heart concerning that true worship. Oh, congregation, are not those the marks of that new life? Do you know such marks also in your life? Is there a young life, whether you be young or whether you be old? Is there a young life? Is there a spiritual life? Is there a life that has begun to breathe after the Lord, to make use of those opportunities? What did David say? He says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out after the living God. Oh, is it so in your life that one day in thy house that has become better than 1,000 in all of this world? Is it so in your life and that you had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, worship. Oh, that I may worship Him. What is now that true worship? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. What mountain was that? That was Mount Gerizim. That is that mountain upon which Sanballat has built the temple for the Samaritans. Because the Samaritans, they contended for the holiness of this Mount Gerizim. They said that this mountain was the mountain on which their fathers have worshipped. And when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and then that the Lord had said to them, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you to this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Thus the Samaritans, they have contended that this Mount Gerizim, that was the place for to worship, that was a holy mountain. Thus they have boasted in their forefathers. They have boasted in antiquity, but they had not much reason to do that, because when Antiochus Epiphanes, he has persecuted the Jewish people, then the Samaritans, they have completely rejected the Jewish people. They didn't want anything to do with the Jewish people, and they have opened up their temple and given that over to Antiochus Epiphanes. And so they had really no reason to boast in their fathers. Now that is how that woman was brought up. That was the way that she was taught, boys and girls. Is that not a wonder that you are taught different when you are young? And so now this woman, she says, our fathers, they have worshipped in this mountain. But then she goes further. She says, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She had always despised this because of that despising of that Jewish people. But there has come in the heart of this woman in these moments such a change. Why? Because of this prophet. And now suddenly then she says within herself, if this now is a true prophet of the Lord, then is this mountain, this Mount Gerizim, is that now really the true place of worship, or is it actually in Jerusalem? Thus never before has she had any respect for this Jerusalem, but suddenly because of this prophet, things they are become different. There is an awe, there is a reverence in her heart. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You would think it was enough that the Lord Jesus has opened the whole life of this woman. You would think that it is enough, and that the Lord Jesus has exposed her bosom sin. But now the Lord Jesus does something else. He goes further. And what does he do? He turns all her religion upside down in one moment. What is it? We say that is for her a further discovery. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Thus, the Lord Jesus, in the first place, he dismisses her argument. He says, that is not essential where that you will worship, because actually, he says, soon that is all going to be coming to an end. I have come to put it to an end. I have come to put to end this dispensation and to usher in a new dispensation. Thus the Lord Jesus does not contend for the place whereat men should worship, although we see that he clearly sides with Jerusalem, because he says salvation is of the Jews. Thus the Jews, they are the chosen people of the Lord. Salvation that is for the Jews. Salvation that has been promised unto the Jews in the first place. And salvation that is actually coming forth from the Jews, because that Messiah, he will come forth from that people. Thus until now, Jerusalem has indeed been that place which was given by the Lord for men to worship, but soon that is going to be done away. Soon it will make no difference anymore. And so we can see that the houses of the Lord, they will be built over the length and the breadth of the whole world. And we will see that the apostles, they will go to Asia Minor. And so there will be houses of the Lord and ministers who are ordained in all these places to bring, to preach that word of God. No, not the place of worship. But then the Lord Jesus, he speaks to her about something else. He speaks to her about whom that you worship. He says, you worship ye know not what. He says, woman, your religion, that is all mixed up, because it is half orthodox and half pagan. You cannot worship God in such a way, because in order to worship God, then you must know who God is. God is a spirit. God is not corporeal. He is not earthly. He is not carnal. No, he is a spirit. And he is not limited to one certain place. But he is everywhere. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thus the Lord Jesus, he speaks about how that God must be worshipped. What is worship that is merely carnal? What is worship that is merely form? What is worship that is merely custom? There is no worship. There is no truth in it. It is only an outward formality. It is only a lie. We can multiply our rights. We can multiply our services. But without spirit, without truth, we do not worship. Oh, true worship. The true worship of God that is in simplicity. The true worship of God is in the heart. The true worship that is in the bowing of the heart. The true worship that is in a godly sincerity. The true worship that is worship only that is in agreement with the nature of God Himself. God is a spirit, and therefore if we will worship Him, then we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Congregation, when the Lord by His Spirit regenerates a man, and when He will open to us all our sin, then what does man begin to do? Then man begins to make something of his religion. Of his religion. And therefore, man needs a further discovery. He does not need only that his outward sinful life is open to him. He does not need only that his unrighteousnesses would appear to him as filthy rags. But he needs a further discovery. He needs also that his righteousnesses would appear to him as they appear to the Lord Himself. That also his righteousnesses would become filthy rags. All man needs a further discovery. Man needs not only that his life is exposed, but he needs that his religion is overturned. Do you know what the Lord is making His children, His people to feel? In that new birth, that all my religion, that is only form. That all my religion, that is just custom. Thus the Lord is leading His people further and further into what? Further and further into their own sin. To show them that they are only carnal, that they are of the earth, earthy, that they have a form of religion, but there is no spirit in them. Oh, that there is no truth in them. In this woman, so much takes place. In just a short period of time, we see that also with Saul of Tarsus. But very often all this instruction that this woman is receiving, that is being received so often in the life of God's children over the time of many years. And yet this point that this woman must experience from the Lord and what the Lord must do to her, that comes also in the life of His own people. And that is being taught unto them by that great prophet. That He is going deeper. Because the heart and the thought, we read in God's Word, of the wicked, of our wicked heart, that is deep. Let us sing. Psalter 110. 1 and 2. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. 1 and 2 of Psalter 110. I that speak unto thee am he. That is the revelation of Christ. That is unto a sinful woman. When? When her feet they are still treading on the paths of sin. When her heart that is still cleaving in love to that old way, No, the Lord, He does not waste His grace. The Lord, He is not casting His pearls before swine. But that is a woman, whom that He has uncovered unto herself. That is a woman who has received a new desire. That is a woman who desires and who is looking that she may worship the Lord again, that she may do it rightly. Oh, that is a woman that cannot find it in her religion anymore either. Oh, that is a woman who doesn't know it anymore. Who doesn't know it anymore. Congregation, are there people who do not know it anymore? Because the churches in our days are filled with people who know it. That is the way we are in our religious self. We know it. But is there a people who do not know it anymore? Because the brothers of Joseph, when Joseph had dealings with them, then they are brought to that place that they do not know it anymore. And they are brought to the place of guilt. And they are brought to that place where they do not know how to make it right again. And so it is now also with this woman. Everything that is turned for her upside down, and she does not know how to make it right anymore. And then we read something that is very remarkable. Very remarkable. Because suddenly we read that this woman begins to speak about the coming Messiah. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. That is remarkable. Why is that so remarkable? Because that is a woman who has never before had any desire. She has never before felt any need for that Messiah. That is also a woman whose knowledge is so limited, whose knowledge of that Messiah is also so corrupted because of that mixed Samaritan religion. And yet, she is not completely ignorant. Thus, she has heard of that Messiah. She has heard that that Messiah was promised. And she has heard also that the coming of that Messiah that was near. She heard it. And now, it is the time of the need of her soul. And now in the time of the need of her soul, then she is given to begin to contemplate what she has heard, even in that corrupted way, since the days of her youth. About the Messiah, she doesn't know that he is standing next to her. She doesn't know that he is guiding her, that he is leading her, that he is directing her, that he is drawing her even to himself as that great prophet. As that great prophet, he has begun to uncover her, to discover herself to herself. As that great prophet, he has begun to instruct her, to instruct her about that true worship. And as that great prophet, then he is leading her step by step unto whom? Unto himself. Oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here's the sound thereof. But thou canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. I know that the Messiah cometh, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. Oh, in that new life, in that new life, then her soul that begins to desire him, in that prophetical office, that she may be instructed by him. No, he has not yet revealed himself. He has not yet shown himself to her soul in a personal way. But there is something there. There is something there. And now, what is that? What is that? You read of the bride in the Song of Solomon, and she is speaking about that bridegroom. And the daughters of Jerusalem, those young ones, they are asking, what is he to thee? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? And then he begins to speak about him. And when she speaks, and then we can read that there is a certain desire that is being born in those daughters of Jerusalem. They do not know him. And yet they are beginning to ask after him. That whither, they say, is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? No, they cannot worship him aright. They cannot love him in his person because they do not know him. But Job, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Thus there was a first a hearing of the ear before there was a seeing with the eye. That is, through the lattice of his word. Think about the brothers of Joseph. What was that? That was before that he had ever shown himself, revealed himself. But those brothers, we read, they marveled. They marveled at what? Well, when they were with him, then he set them all in order. In order. Thus there was something in the heart of those brothers, though they did not know who he was. Yet in the experience of their life, then they experienced that he knew who that they were. We read Bunyan, he lays it out in his Pilgrim's Progress. Do you see yonder wicked gate? No. Oh, that hidden second person. Do you see yonder shining light? I think I do. Oh, something shining. Something drawing. In him. Oh, that is as the dawning of the day. What do we read? Zacharias. He sings about the day spring from on high. What is the day spring, children? In the morning, before the sun comes up, before the sun reveals, before you can see the sun, then there is light. It is the beginning of that new day. And now when was it that John the Baptist, he is singing of that day spring, or that is in the birth of the forerunner, that is in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus there is already something. There is already the beginning, the dawning, the small dawning of that new day. I know that the Messiah is coming. Oh, parents, elders, teachers, that is such an encouragement. Why? Because those children, those young people, oh, when we try to instruct them, then sometimes it can be that we say, what is now the use? Because they are not interested. That young heart that wants to go out to play, that young heart and that is looking forward to a life in this world, oh, fill their minds. If it will not come in their hearts, fill their minds. Why? When the Lord will convert them. Oh, how useful will be that instruction which was given unto them in the days of their youth, as it was even for this woman. I know, she says, that the Messiah is coming. And now, what a different estimation there is in her heart. In the day of her conversion, oh, then it all changed from the way that it was before he was so close. He was dealing with her soul, but she was ignorant. But he heard it. He heard it. He heard her say it. What did he hear her say? He heard her say, I know that the Messiah cometh. And when he is come, he will teach us all things. Oh, he heard it. And he knew. And that desire that has now sprung forth in her heart, because it was wrought by himself. Oh, he saw that desire, and he saw that she was actually looking for something to come in the future that had already taken place. I know that the Messiah cometh. She was looking for something in the future which was actually already present. That coming of the Messiah. And he was standing right next to her. And now there comes a moment. There comes a moment that the bowels of that greater Joseph, they are not able to restrain themselves anymore. Oh, there comes a moment that greater Joseph, that he must say to his people, I am Joseph. And so we read it here. I that speak unto thee. Am he. O congregation, what a moment. What a moment in the life of this woman. We read the brothers of Joseph. They could not say a word. They could not say a word. And now what do we read about this woman? Not a word. Not a word. I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, there are two things that the Lord needs to show us in our life. We will never forget them. Do you know what they are? He needs to show us ourself. And He needs to show us Himself. We will not forget those two things. I that speak unto thee am He. Oh, so close to this woman. Speaking unto this woman. What a wonder. What a wonder that was for that woman. That He was speaking unto her. Then it becomes for her such a personal matter. In that moment of the revelation, then it becomes so possible for that people. There are two things that come together for this woman in that moment. You can understand that. You can understand that. The one is this sinful woman. And the second is that holy Messiah. And they come there together for that woman. Congregation, when the Lord reveals Himself in the life of a person, there are two things that come together in that moment. Then they see it. Then their eyes are opened. And what are those two things? Sin and grace. Sin and grace. They had never seen it before in their life. How that sin and grace, they could come together. Mercy and truth. The truth of God. Mercy and truth. They are met together. Righteousness and peace. They have kissed each other. Oh, that is a moment. That is a moment that a man will never forget in his life. Because in that moment, it becomes possible, not for my neighbor, yes, for the whole world, but in that moment, it becomes possible for me. Then it is not that I am forgiven. It is not that I have it. But it is that it becomes possible. Because that mercy and that truth, they are met together in that Messiah. That Messiah speaking unto this wicked woman. I that speak unto thee am He. O congregation, we cannot know Him unless He reveals Himself. Do you believe that? That is now the only way. Did He ever reveal Himself unto your soul? In a personal way, we need to know this. We need to know this. Because otherwise we have no comfort. No comfort from all our religion in our life. Unless we come to know ourselves, and unless we come to know Him over against who that we are. Is there a people that are still waiting for this? Is there a people that are still looking for this? You say, why does it take so long? It takes so long. Because He does not waste His grace. Or has that sin of your life been uncovered? Has that now been opened up? Has that wound been penetrated into? Or has that desire that you may worship in spirit and in truth? Or has that desire sprung by the Spirit of the Lord into your soul? Has all your religion been overturned as that which is without spirit and without truth? Do you not know it anymore? Is everything turned now as this woman upside down? Do you see something shining? Do you ever see something shining in that word of God? And is he the witness of that desire of your heart for that prophet to give you instruction, to teach you, that you say when he is come, the Messiah, then he will teach me all things. Oh, is this your life? Then he is not far away. Then he is not far away. Because he says, I that speak unto thee am he. And what is the fruit of that? Do you know what the fruit of that is? That woman, she becomes a minister. Say she is a woman. She cannot become a minister. No, not in the church. But she becomes a minister. Then she goes to preach. Because she says, there are also my loved ones. There are also my friends. And she begins to tell them about this great prophet. And what is the fruit? Many. Many, we read, they believed on him. They went out to him with her. And they desired him to come to stay with him, them. Oh, what a blessed 2 days. 2 days. He was there in Samaria. And we read many more. They believed because of his own word. Oh, what a fruit. What a fruit. When that woman, she could speak. She couldn't speak of much. Didn't have much knowledge. But she could speak from her heart. She could speak from her heart. She could speak about what she experienced in her life. She could say, not go, but come. Come. Come with me. And I will tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. And that has so sunk into the hearts of others. Oh, may the Lord give such persons among us. The Lord make us so. And that the Lord may give such fruit also in our midst. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, there is no mimicking of thy work. All hypocrisy that will be uncovered. But the truth of thy work that will make itself manifest, and when it is tried, it shall come forth as gold. O, we beseech thee for the working of thy Holy Spirit to remember us, O Lord. We cannot do without thee. We cannot do without thy instruction. That instruction of that great prophet. We have tried a little to lay it out. But Lord, now we need that thou thyself would do it. And we beseech thee to do it for the sake of thy great name. Because then it will be that many will believe on thee, not because of what we have said, but because of what thou hast said. And then, not unto us, but unto thy name shall be all the glory. Wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Give us a thankful heart that thou hast strengthened us to be able to bring thy word in this morning. Grant thy blessing upon it. Help thy servant in this afternoon in our midst. Come thou among us. Show thyself. Bless thy word. Be thou the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 174, 1, 2, and 3. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 174. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.